This is Blue Money, a finance podcast made for cops by cops. Lieutenant Jim Donnelly of the Bensalem Police Department and co-host Kevin McGarry of Valley Financial Group come together to help protect and serve your financial needs. This is Blue Money.
I want to welcome everyone back to the Blue Money Podcast. This is your host, Jim Donnelly. I'm here with my co-host, Kevin McGarry.
What's up, Jimmy?
Not much, Kevin. I'm excited for today. We got a special guest, Joe Breezy. Joe, you've been a client for a little bit. He has 46.5 years in law enforcement. Recently retired, Joe, so I thought you'd be a great person to have on the show. Just talk a little bit about your career and about your financial goals and everything like that, Joe. So
there you go, Joe.
Joe deserves it after 46 years, buddy. You know what I mean? So, Joe, welcome, man.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So, Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started the Philadelphia Police Academy in March of 78. Got laid off two times in less than 2 years. Wound up in working in the first district.
So, Joe, twice in 2 years?
Twice in 2 years. Yeah, we got laid off 19 days right out of the academy.
Wow.
For 19 days.
Who was the commissioner then?
It was Joe O'Neill. And Frank Rizzo was the mayor.
Wow.
Yeah, and came back after 19 days, went into the transit unit, working the trains and the subway surface cars for a year and a half, and got laid off again by Bill Green for 5.5 months.
Okay, wow.
Then came back, went to the first district, South Detectives, JD, sex crimes for 7 years, South Detectives again for 4, and then back to what was the Special Victims Unit for another 7. And I retired out of there in October of 06.
Joe, when you got laid off, did you have to go back to training?
No, we were completed. Since we were laid off for only 19 days, we were still certified.
They don't have that problem now, right?
Nah. Short.
They're so short. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
So how many years you doing Philly, Joe?
I did 28 and a half.
And then
Philly.
What was your next chapter after that? What'd you do?
I retired from Philly on a Friday in 2006, and on Tuesday I went to the University of Pennsylvania Police Department. I stayed in uniform for just shy of 2 years and then made detective on July 7th of 08 and retired last Friday. Gave me about 16 and a half years in 16 years in detective division.
So, Joe, I mean, you were a detective for a long time. Now, what did you think the biggest difference between Philly PD and UPenn when you were down there being a detective?
Well, we handled everything just about the same except for homicides and sex crimes, although we would assist Philly homicide and Philly sex crimes with different investigations. But University of Penn is more confined. When you're with the city, you're working all over the city. If you're decentralized, you're working all over the city. With Penn, it was just Penn properties, mostly on campus. We would go out to Chester County if we had properties out there, or Delaware County, and do what we had to do out there. But basically, that was it. It's just about the same thing as Philly, only it's much less.
Small scale. Now, what about Joe? Over the years, you see a lot of people retiring, and they go through ups and downs, the highs and lows of it. Now, you just recently retired. How you feeling, man? Like, what? How you feeling about it?
Well, I'm terrified.
Okay.
I have no idea what the future holds. I retired once from Philly.
Joe, right there, when you retired from Philly, were you terrified?
No, because I already had the job at the University of Pennsylvania lined up. And I knew that, and the reason I went to the University of Pennsylvania was people asked, why did you go back into police work? Well, I don't know computers. And
right.
At 50 years old, I was too old to pack skids.
Hey. Right.
So I went into the what I know best, the police department.
Absolutely.
And there, with Philly, we would pay 6% of our pay towards our pension.
Mm-hmm.
At Penn, we would pay 3% of our pay towards our pension, and we were also paid Social Security.
Right. Right.
Now, that's for 28 and a half years, I didn't pay Social Security.
Yeah, in Philly. Mm-hmm.
So I had to build that up, or right. I probably would get a zero amount every month.
Philly's one of the districts that doesn't pay into Social Security, where other departments
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things a lot of Philly cops don't understand it and how important it is. I was a Philly cop for 3 years before I went to Bensalem, and I never realized I wasn't paying Social Security or anything, none of it. But it's a big thing when you're about to retire and then you got to live off your pension and you don't have that Social Security where a lot of other officers, you know, in Pennsylvania do have it. It's a huge perk. So like, Joe, that's huge for you. Obviously, you know, in retirement now that you're getting Social Security.
Yeah. Back then I was so young. I didn't think about Social Security back then. I wasn't thinking about getting older and every, you know, a couple of times I thought I was going to get killed and I wouldn't live this long, you know,
right,
but,
right.
When it came time, when you got older and you had to start thinking about different things and start thinking about your future, you have to think about these things about Social Security.
No,
absolutely. And try to get as much income as you can in, because things are so expensive today.
Yeah,
they are.
You know, and you want to be able to take care of your family and let them live the life that they're used to and that you've brought for them.
Provide it.
Right? That's the thing. Now, what do you think, Joe, like looking back, like you said, it was 46 years, 46 and a half years. Is there anything you wish you would have did differently when you first started out in law enforcement? Are you happy where you're at, kind of with your portfolio or your retirement money? Is there anything that you look back that you wish you would have did differently, or are you happy where you're at?
There's a lot of things I would do different. I would have tried to found a way to pay into Social Security or some kind of bank account or savings account that would give me the money at my age now. I would have started saving a lot sooner than I did.
Joe, not to cut you off on that, but with law enforcement, can you work other jobs to put into Social Security? If you're a Philly...
Yeah, there's jobs. There's some jobs you can't like carry a gun. You can't do private security. There's things that...
Could you work at like,
yeah,
like
you can't, a Lowe's? You can't do liquor. You can't work in a bar. You can't own a bar. You can't do collections. You can't do personal protection, stuff like that. You can work in a Lowe's or a Home Depot or an office settlement setting or something like that. But they have limits on your time during the week, because if they need you, they don't want you going to another job.
If you're a Philly cop and you're running a gun and you're in court all day, it's tough to hide the side hustle. But what the one thing that people should look at is, if you know, sometimes they don't become a police officer until their 30s, so they work for like 8 years and they're close to having that 40 credits and they don't have it yet. So when you retire, go somewhere where you can get the other credits towards that 40. So there's things, that's why it's important to meet with different advisors or look at your Social Security statement to figure out how you can maximize.
Well, that's what I was saying, like with the firemen we deal with, they're in Philly, it's
firemen's four off.
So they can go get those.
Yeah, drivers. Firemen work 2 10-hour days to 14-hour nights, then are off for four, and they have a lot of time to do their side hustles. Yeah.
But the point of it is, this part of the conversation is, find a way to get into Social Security.
Sure, yep. So besides that, Joe, what else would you, besides maybe try to pay into Social Security or get a side hustle, what else?
Definitely start to save earlier. I really didn't save anything until I got my drop money.
Right.
I tried to put money away, but then there was always a bill here and there. And you take it out and you put it away, you take it out and you spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they came out with this drop program, it was like a godsend.
Yeah, for a lot of officers.
Yeah. I mean, there was no way I would ever be able to put that kind of money away.
Does Philly PD pay for any education courses or classes? Do you know?
Well, I've been out for 18 years, so I don't know if they still do it. They did let me go to community college for, I forget what it was, a class for a short time, and they paid. But that was way back when I was...
Like some of the townships, like say Ben Salem, it's just in your contract. If you have like your master's degree, you get like $3,000 a year. If you had like a bachelor's degree, it might be like $2,200. I don't know the exact numbers. So they are paying you. It's a bonus, but they're not paying you to go back. It's nothing like that.
Right.
Yeah. They, like I said in the beginning, they would pay for a little bit, but some police departments now are paying you more, like Jim said, for higher education.
Right.
Joe, what about now? You've been a client for about 2 years now. What's your personal experience about working with a financial advisor, and just give it how you feel. Is it, you know, up and downs? Is it tricky at times? How do you feel about working with advisors?
After I retired and I moved to a different location, I got to know you a little bit. You came to my house a few times. We talked. I got to know you. And then at one point you dropped off some literature about Valley Financial, and it took me a while to get up the nerve to do it, because I never invested it before.
Right.
Didn't know anything about the market. My wife's still nervous to this day. She has no idea. I just tell her, just calm down. Everything's going, we're okay. But at one point I decided to give you a call, and I said, all right, it's time to invest, because I wasn't making any money in the bank with my money sitting in my drop account. So, you came over, you told me what to do. I came to your office. We sat down. You, me, and Kevin, we talked, and I felt a lot better about what I was getting myself into.
Right.
And I think the big thing, Joe, when we sat down with you, which we do with every client, is financial planning.
Yeah.
To help you understand the money that you work your ass off all these years, it has to meet your DNA, your income, your risk tolerance, your longevity.
Right.
And that's what I think helped. When remembering the meetings get you to feel more comfortable.
Yeah, there's times when you're still nervous or scared, but because you don't know what the world's, what's happening. You don't know what's going to happen, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy.
that right you're working now. With people. Yeah. So it does. It's been beneficial for you.
Very.
Yeah. Very. Okay. Yeah. Now, what about Joe? Any advice for any rookie cop just starting out there, or even a veteran cop that's going to retire soon? You've seen everything over the 46 and a half years. So is there any advice you'd like to give our listeners out there or someone that listens to this podcast?
First of all, you have to take care of yourself. You got to keep your health. Make sure you stay healthy. If you have any money in the bank, you have enough that you want to invest, read, do research, get somebody to give you advice on what to do. Don't just let the money sit in the bank, because eventually you're going to spend it. Mm-hmm. If it's there, you're going to spend it. If you're investing it, you keep hoping that it gets better and better and better. And at some point, you're happy with
right.
You know.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that when we're meeting with a lot of clients now, a lot of police officers, they might have $200,000 in the bank. They never had that kind of money in their, and they have it in the money market. Banks are paying 5%, 4.5%, and they're feeling like, oh, man, this is good. And that's a great return.
Yeah.
The problem is when we're going to make the feds are doing cuts in September, and they're going to be cutting, it's going to be 50 basis points or 25 basis points, and they're going to be keep cutting as it's going. The bank's not paying that anymore.
Right.
So these people that really had that lump sum of money in there, it's just not going to be that profitable anymore, and that's where they really need to start looking at alternative investments instead of just sitting. Because, Kev, how many times we see that where guys are sitting a lot of money?
I think people get nervous. They think when they sit down with a financial advisor and they start speaking about the markets and portfolios, they compare it to going to a casino.
Yeah, yeah, but it was a foreign language to me until you guys actually sat down and broke everything down and explained certain things and certain terms to me and everything. But you going back to people having $200,000 in the bank, I was only getting like 0.1% on my drop money.
Yeah,
think about that, right? Like Rule 72, right, Joe, which we went through many times with you. 72 divided by 1%, it's going to take you 72 years to double your money.
Right, right. And, you know, it's just, I wasn't getting anything for it. And you know, it's just sitting there. And I wanted to do something to try to make that grow a little bit if I could.
Right. And I don't blame police officers out there. I mean, listen, we know we don't really trust anyone. We know that, right? And it takes a while to trust people.
Right.
And you see all this stuff on the news and you know, you hear horror stories that they worked their whole life and someone took their money and it's gone. And
right.
It scares people. So we do get it. But that's why you have to really shop around. Look what you're doing and talk to professionals. You don't have to go with the first one you talk to.
Right.
There's thousands of them out there, hundreds of them out there. But get some advice. When you try to do it yourself and we're not educated on it, it's really, really backfires.
Well, when I was at Penn back in 2008 when they had that recession, one of the ladies there had some money invested and she lost a ton of money. And she had to work two more years in order to get some of that money back. I didn't want to do that.
Sure, sure.
You know, and it was just, you know, police are brave. They're supposed to be not afraid of anything, but you're always afraid of the unknown.
Right. Sure.
You know, and the future is the unknown. No matter what or how good or how bad you're doing, the future is always the unknown. And you don't know what the future brings.
No, that's right.
So. That's right. And Joe, so many times we see so many law enforcement personnel coming in here, and they're out there protecting society, and they are brave. But when they have to speak about money, they look very, very nervous and scared.
Well, that's because they're asking for help. And we're not used to asking for help and to get things explained to us. And they don't want to, I mean, they work hard for their money. Everybody does. And they don't want to lose anything.
Yeah, that's right. No, absolutely.
That's 100%. Yeah. And that's, I think, the one thing in growing up, you know, in the city, in the schools, no one speaks about money.
No.
And the more you can over-communicate and speak about it and feel comfortable about it, planning becomes easy.
Right, right.
Or it gets easier, right?
Yeah. The more you learn, the more you know, it gets a little easier. And obviously, you have to have the money to invest. But once you get to know what's going on, it gets a little easier.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you for being on the podcast today. I mean, been nothing but great to me for the last couple of years, everything. You're a really great guy. I'm really glad that you're working together. I'm glad that we're building a nice friendship going forward. You had 46 and a half years in law enforcement. That's a ton of time. For anyone that's done the job, to put the uniform on when you were the detective for a while, it's a lot of time. You saw a lot of time. Definitely made a difference in a lot of people's lives, especially being a detective, sticking up for the victims that couldn't stick up for themselves or be the voice. Yeah. So, Joe, something to really be proud of. I'm proud of you, buddy, for 46 years, so hats off to you.
Awesome,
But that's going to wrap up the Blue Money Podcast. Joe, thanks for being on. Kev, you have anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, just for our listeners and anyone out there, you know, just listen to Joe. He was uncomfortable. He was unsure, but he seeked out help. and he started to plan. Now my guy's retired. He's going to have a great retirement. And he's going to enjoy it. It's okay not to know, but just speak up, and people are out there to help.
So thanks, guys. If anyone has any questions about this podcast or anything about in the financial world, your portfolio review or anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to Kevin and I. Be safe out there, guys.
Be safe.
Thanks for listening to Blue Money. To learn more about Jim and Kevin or for a free financial assessment, visit valleyfinancial.com or click on the link in the podcast description or show notes. Until next time, safe investing. This material is intended to be educational in nature and not as a recommendation for any particular strategy, approach, product, or concept for any particular advisor or client. These materials are not intended for any form of substitute or individualized investment advice. This discussion is general in nature and therefore not intended to recommend or endorse any asset class, security, or technical aspect of any security for the purpose of allowing a reader to use the approach on their own. Before participating in any investment program or making any investment, clients as well as all other readers are encouraged to consult with their own professional advisors, including investment advisors and tax advisors. Valley Financial can assist in determining a suitable investment approach for a given individual, which may or may not closely resemble the strategies outlined herein.